Bosom Selector on 95BFM.
That's right. I'm so excited about today's Bosom Selector. We've got none other than DJ Dubhead in the studio. How are you?
Greetings. It's great to be here. And this early in the morning, it's weird for me.
Thank you so much for coming up. You're going to be here in 12 hours' time.
That's right. Exactly.
We so appreciate you coming up to chat to us a little bit about rhythm selection and your involvement with BFM. You've been at BFM for a long time, right?
A really long time. So a quick potted history. I started DJing in 1983 around Auckland. I was 18 or 19 at the time. In about 85, I started hanging out at BFM because I had friends, skateboarders, who were doing shows up here. So I started hanging out and helping out as people do. That was 85. And then in 1990, the station manager at the time called me up and said, would you like to present a specialist reggae radio show? Mm. Now, BFM already had a specialist radio show. It was called Campus Radio Sound System every Sunday with Duncan Campbell, and that ran from 1980 through till 1991. But I think Duncan, he was a journalist and he was getting very busy with his work. He used to do news. Mm-hmm. Right? So he was looking at kind of scaling it back, and so they said, oh, look, do you want to do a reggae show? And I'm like, oh, you bet. And of course, I'd already been a DJ in bars and clubs for 7 years by then, so I sort of knew what I was doing, and I'd spent enough years at BFM that I'd kind of figured things out too. So yeah, I was stoked. And so since then, it's every week since 1990, which is 35 years.
Wow. That is so dedicated, man.
What a service to the community. Thank
now,
you, Dubhead.
Something about the music that I play. So in the 90s, being a young man, there was a lot of great new music coming out. And what really excited me at that time was hip-hop. It's what they called the golden era of hip-hop, because it was just exploding in the 90s, early 90s. And Dancehall from Jamaica. So I was all about playing the new sounds, the new exciting music, and that sort of street music was what I was all about. So the show was featured mostly new music. But as things went along, with sampling and so on, I discovered that a lot of these hip-hop beats and the samples that you hear in dancehall, reggae and hip-hop were sampled from old records. Mm. So there's a thing, people call them sample spotters, but it's like you're finding out, well, where did that loop come from? Well, what is that original drum break? What's it being lifted from? Where are those horns from, etc.? So I started looking into the old records that had been sampled to make the hip-hop and the reggae. And it was amazing because in many cases, once I'd found, oh, it's this old track from, 1972, wow. And then I'd listen to that and I'd be like, I think I like this better than the track that had used it, because they would just take a four bar loop or a horn stabs or a vocal sample or a sax break or something. But hearing the old song, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So then, it became a historical journey for me. Like if you study science or the arts or anything, you always want to know what are the origins of.
Totally.
So, I was playing all this music with grooves, but I was like, what are the origins of these grooves? So I started going back, and now, all these years later, I kind of play exclusively old music from the 1960s and 70s, because
full
I discovered
circle.
With all the reggae and the dancehall, they were really recycling bass lines and drum beats that had been used previously.
Yeah.
And the same with hip-hop. It was like nearly all of hip-hop was sampling old songs, like soul and funk songs from the 60s and the 70s and jazz and stuff like that. So as I went along, the music I was playing was getting older and older and older. And now I buy a lot of vintage 45s. So that's the 7-inch singles, which is how a lot of these records came out in the beginning. And that's how it's. And I also I'm still, of course, excited and interested with new music, but as I've got older as a DJ, I've also sort of realized, well, there's a whole new generation of DJs who have come up after me, who may be 20 or 30 years younger than I am. They're the ones who are on the exciting brand new sounds.
Mm.
People like you. You guys are here breaking a brand new song. Like, wow, it just came out this week, And that's your job.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I don't need to do so much of that anymore. This historical journey, as I've discovered all this old music, the more I find out, the more I realize I don't know Like, it really is discovery, you know. People say, oh, you know such a lot. You have such a lot of wealth of knowledge. And I do. Accumulated years of 40 years of playing this kind of music. But the more I find out, the more I realize I don't know. I keep discovering records I've never heard of or bands and artists that I didn't know existed. And that's the excitement for me, you know, playing this old music and finding out stuff I had no idea about.
Have you gotten really good at picking up samples now? Like, can you listen to tracks and be like, oh, this one again?
Yes, if it's something that I'm familiar with or I know, like I'll hear it and I'll go, oh, I know where that's from, you know. And of course, it you can go insane. Like, if you study breakbeats, or in reggae, they're called rhythms. Now, a rhythm in reggae is not just the beat, it's actually the bass line and the drums. Mm-hmm. That's called a rhythm, right? Now, reggae, you know, over the last 50 or 60 years has just constantly recycled rhythms, popular rhythms that the people like. Someone will cut a new version of it, right? So, you know, you go into this and you hear a song and you go, I know that rhythm. It's African beat, you know, and it's totally. You can go insane.
They don't call him the Mad Professor for nothing,
that's right.
Do they?
That's something I love about the specialty shows on BFM, though, in particular, and Rhythm Selection, of course, is you're not just hearing a playlist that someone's curated for you. You're hearing the sort of research that they've done and the knowledge, and it's a real, you get an understanding of where the song has come from and the lineage of the sounds and the samples, and you just learn so much. It's like we've got encyclopedias of music.
Absolutely.
In the form of DJs.
And I want to share that too, because I want, you know, if I play a song and somebody out there likes it, I want them to know who made it and what year it came out, maybe what record label it's on, so that they can find it themselves, or they can look at that artist and then go, oh, I want to find out more about that artist because that was a really cool track. You know, so I feel like information is super important, you know.
Speaking of cool tracks, you've chosen a couple for us.
Yes, so what I've done here is I've got a reggae song, which is sort of typical of the kind of vintage reggae that I play, and then I've also chosen a Latin jazz track. So the first one is from a record label called Studio One in Jamaica, which was a very, very important record label and production house there. They're called the Motown of Jamaica, because they had so many hits, but like more hits than Motown, and also sometimes called the University of Jamaica, and that's because nearly all the musicians and artists that became big in reggae started at Studio One. Now, it might sound like I'm exaggerating, but I'm not. 500 different artists recorded for this one producer, and he released 8,000 songs. 8,000,
oh my god,
which is probably more than Motown,
that is crazy.
Which is insane. So this is Studio One, and this is why it's so important in the whole overall story of reggae. So from Studio One, this is Clifton Gibbs and the Selected Few, and it's a beautiful song, a great way to start a Monday morning. This is called Leave Me to Cry.
Let's have a listen.
Just stunning.
It
well
is
done.
Lovely on a Monday
isn't it
morning,
like cute
isn't it?
And just sweet, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And basically he's just singing to a girl saying, like, please don't leave me. You
please.
Know, that, please don't leave me, you know. She hasn't left him, but he's just like, don't, you know.
Don't do it.
I'll
don't
go to pieces it. If that happens.
If yeah. you were thinking.
If you were, yes, if you should leave me, that's what, it, you know.
Yeah.
So next, I want to play... a tune from a Latin percussionist. His name is Mongo Santa Maria. He's from Cuba, and he moved to the United States in the 1950s, played with Tito Puente and a lot of the big Latin players in America. But significantly, in the 60s, he teamed up with a lot of really, really good American jazz musicians. And he had this idea because... You know, he was a trained conga player and band leader from Cuba, and he wanted to try and break Latin music out in America. Now, of course, there's a lot of Hispanic people already living in America, but he didn't want to simply play Latin music for the Latin audience in the States. He's like, hey, there's a much bigger crowd out there. So he got involved with people like Herbie Hancock and a lot of the emerging jazz players at the time, and he started doing cover versions of, like, popular songs, like things like The Beatles and rock and roll and stuff like that, but doing them in a Latin style. So he had this kind of vision where he could take Latin rhythms but put them onto American songs. And this particularly worked with the jazz players that he was playing with. So these all were really top-ranking, very, very good jazz musicians. Mm-hmm. But they loved this guy playing congas, because he could take one of their songs or arrangements and then give it a Latin flavor. And it really did cross over. So it's like Latin people liked his music because they identified the Cuban rhythm straight away, but then African Americans liked it because it was jazzy, and then even white Americans liked it because it's like, oh, hey, this is really cool, you know, hey, that Latin music isn't so bad. So
this is music for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. So, and lately, in the last few years on the show, I've been really getting into, so for a long time I've played funk and soul and reggae, but in recent years I've really been investigating African music, vintage African music, old African music, and Latin music, which are both vast. I mean, to even go in there, those are huge genres.
Massive.
But I'm looking at how they link with the other music that I play, and it's actually, you know, it's a result of the slave trade, and it's a result of colonization that Africans went to South America, to the Caribbean, to North America, and that is how we actually ended up with jazz and rhythm and blues and funk and soul and all popular music comes from those Africans that were displaced and travelled around the world.
Yeah, and it's not very often that like whakapapa gets acknowledged.
Exactly, and so then if you realise, oh, this is the basis of all groove. Like all groove, like any music that has a groove, it comes originally from Africa, you know. Mm. And this Afro-Cuban jazz from Mongo Santa Maria is a good example of that. So we're going to play a fun track. It's very up-tempo, so it's for all you people about to start work for the day.
Get
and,
it going.
And it's called Get the Money.
Very good. Thank you so much, Dubhead, for coming
Get
up
the
for
money.
Bosom Selector. Everyone can tune into Rhythm Selection tonight at 9 p.m.
And also... every Tuesday morning from 5 till 7, just before the breakfast
show.
Just
because I love
you can
walking
get
into
early,
that.
Listen to Rhythm Selection and then catch breakfast on a Tuesday.
Thank you, Rosetta
Beautiful.
And Millie.
Thanks,
thank you,
Dubs.
Have a great day, people.
was this week's Bosom Selector on 95 BFM.